Our reading this week and last week both centered on Luke's description of the preaching of John the Baptist. And in Luke, pretty much like in all the other Gospels, John comes preaching in a style of a fire and brimstone prophet, calling for repentance as he announces humanity's ultimate destiny. And he heralds the coming of the Messiah. All in all, it's a pretty sobering message, beginning with the less than endearing sermon opener, "You brood of vipers," and ending with the serious threatening and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, all in all, it's a real knees-up, feel-good sermon. Yet Luke closes this grim scene by saying in verse 18, "So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people." I'm wondering, how is this good news? If this is Luke's idea of good news, then I'm not sure I want to hear his bad news. But comparing Luke's gospel treatment of John the Baptist to that of Matthew, it offers us two clues. First, Matthew's gospel describes John's audience as the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Perhaps Matthew was intent on contrasting John's ministry with the religious leaders of his day. However, Luke describes the audience simply as the crowd. Verse 10, he says, "and the crowd." As we read further, we realized crowds is a euphemism. He might as well have just called them misfits or outcasts or losers or riffraff. The crowd is made up, among others, of tax collectors, people who make their profit by squeezing their neighbour on behalf of occupying Rome, and soldiers, not to be confused with our men and women in uniform. The soldiers Luke refers to are mercenaries, thugs, who earn most of their wages from exhorting or extorting and threats. As is often the case in Luke's gospel, he often turns his attention to those on the margins, to those outside of society. So here we see the socially and morally shunned, the tax collectors, the sinners, those outcast from society, who would later love to hear Jesus' stories and are already attracted to John the Baptist, the one who was Jesus' forerunner. Now, why would that be? Perhaps because John is at least willing to talk with them. And despite our best intentions and our best efforts, many of us religious types do come across as quite judgmental. And so no wonder then, as it was in John the Baptist's day, that people who are down and out, people who are on the margins, really feel welcome in a house of prayer. Yet John honours them by noticing them. John honours them by speaking to them and giving them something to do. And that brings us to this second distinctive feature in Luke's account. Hearing of the impending judgment, the crowds, the tax collectors, the soldiers all ask, "What should we do?" in verse 12. And John tells them. Now, it's very interesting that John's instructions are neither complex or spiritual. To the poor crowd, he says, "Share even what you have." To the tax collector, he says, "Take only what is fair." To the mercenary soldiers, he says, "Do not extort." John reduces the instructions of the good life to everyday language for these people. And these are simply the rules of the playground. That is, share, be fair, and don't bully. It's no wonder that Jesus says to his disciples in Luke chapter 18, verses 16 to 17, but Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." What John offers them is entirely within their reach. That means to share, be fair, and don't bully. It may not be easy because we get accustomed to getting what we want and hoarding what we have. But what John is offering is possible. The other thing that I find interesting is that John does not ask them to leave their current stations or situations. The day after hearing John preach, I can only assume that the tax collectors are still collecting tax and the mercenaries are still soldiering. But they are doing it better. They are doing it differently. They are doing it with the needs of their neighbour before them. Which is interesting when you think about it, because just like us, these people are caught between the end of days, the day of reckoning, the day of the Lord. It says in verse 17, the winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. They, like we, are caught between the day of the Lord and the great marriage supper of the Lamb. However, the crowds hear John speak of the part that they can play in the kingdom, a role that does not demand monastic self-denial. It does not demand a spiritual pilgrimage. John invites them to participate in God's coming kingdom. Wherever they are and whatever they're doing, all they need to do is have enough faith. Just have enough faith for God to work in and through the ordinary and the mundane elements of their lives. 2,000 years on, this is a promise that we are invited to also. Wherever we may be and whatever we may be doing, conduct it fairly and with community in mind. Yes, this is a promise that we are all invited into. Or to put it another way, it is a promise for those living in the meantime. Because we are all caught between judgment and hope every day of our lives. Now, we might not name it that way. The judgment may not feel like the end of days, but judgment does come when we don't live up to expectations of others and of our own expectations. And our hope may not always be divine. It may just be a deep desire that things need to get better. But wherever we are, John the Baptist has a message for those living in the meantime, those who are struggling to be faithful. In this time between the giving of the promise and the promise being kept once and for all, John the Baptist really helps us perceive and make use of the riches of faith. He helps us to live faithfully here and now, even as we look forward to God's redemption. John encourages us to be who we are called to be, where we are in the meantime. What a great Advent message John the Baptist has shown us over these last 2 weeks. Don't forget the rules of the playground now. Share, be fair, and don't bully. So, my friends, we are still that crowd that John the Baptist invites to live lives persistent and faithful as we wait for the coming of the one who is more powerful, the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Please pray with me. We pray this day for those longing for spiritual renewal. We would ask that your Holy Spirit invigorate us, that we may provide for others first before expecting them to provide for us. Come to this place and encourage us to do the work to which we were baptized. Help us to proclaim the good news in word and deed. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.